Praise the Lord. Don't you want to know Him more and experience His love more? Reach out to Him and just know the God who has loved you with an everlasting love. We give God praise for His faithfulness. I want to thank God for a new day and a new season, a new now. It doesn't matter what happened yesterday. Yesterday is gone. This is a new day. It's a day for you and I to rejoice and be glad. So now begin to celebrate the goodness of the living God and thank Him who has given you eternal life. Life everlasting. The God who heals you, the God who restores you, the God who makes you every with whole. God reigns supreme in your life today, and therefore nothing else can take charge of your life. There is one throne, and that throne belongs to Him. Father, we thank you, Lord, O God, for your presence this day. We thank you, Lord, O God, that your name is above every other name. We thank you, Lord, O God, for your hand of favor upon our lives. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this new day. It's a day that's ordained for you, for every one of us to rejoice and be glad in you. And so, Lord, O God, here we are, thankful, worshiping you, and declaring, O God, that the earth and all that is within it is exalting and glorifying your holy name and yielding its increase unto us. For Father, we sow, O God, our best into you today. Lord, do great and greater things in us and through us. And may this week be, O God, a magnificent week, O God, in which, O God, we can say boldly, God has been good to me. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Well, in just a moment, Mama is going to come and lead us in our time of prayer and intercession. And I'm going to come with the word of the Lord for us also. But before she comes, and as she gets ready to come now, I want you to know that the first 21 days of the new year coming are going to be a time of intercession, a time of fasting. So in 2021, we are going to be doing a Daniel fast of 21 days. And I'm believing God that at the end of those 21 days, you and I will experience a magnificent move in which we hear the revelation of God and see into the realm of the future. Be blessed and be highly favored of the Lord. Mama is going to come now. It's our first time of having her the last 3 weeks. But she said, I'm not going to stay home no more. I'm coming. So, well, here she is. Let's see. Hallelujah.
Oh.
Amen.
Well, good day, everybody. It's good to be in the house of the Lord, where we're still keeping the law. How many people are allowed to be here? That's the essential worker, we are only five. So praise the Lord. We are not breaking the rules. We follow the laws of the land. Amen. Praise God. All right. Those in television land, at home, we do miss you. A lot of you have been calling me and say, we miss you. We've not seen you. So we had to not ask. We only asked the people that were here. So one of them had to stay home today so I can be here. So I am glad I am in the house of the Lord. Amen. Well, don't give up wherever you are. God has not forsaken you, neither has he left you. So let's welcome the Spirit of the Lord into the service, into your homes, into your heart, into our nation. Father, we welcome you. Holy Spirit, Spirit of the living God, Spirit of wisdom, Spirit of knowledge, Spirit of understanding, Spirit of counsel, Spirit of might, Spirit of the fear of the Lord, and all your spirit, which is your holy word. We welcome you into our hearts, into our families, our city, our nation, our neighborhood. You are Lord. We declare your lordship in every area of our lives today. Be in this service. Move in our heart. Speak your word to us. And let us be revived. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, our scripture reading today is going to be from Matthew 6. We'll continue in prayer in a moment. Matthew 6. I'm going to read from verse 24. Turn your Bible there. There are not many verses. We're going to just read up to starting from 24, Matthew chapter 6. It says, no man can serve two masters. You can read along at home as I read. No man, this is Jesus speaking, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. No matter what is happening right now in our world, hold on to God. Choose God today and continue to serve him. Don't worry about mammon and the things of this world that you think you are missing. You're not missing anything. As long as you have life, everything's going to be all right. You will catch up. Verse 25, therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, for what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? A lot of people are worrying about their future right now because most of the businesses are closed. Small businesses, they're struggling because of COVID. There's lockdown in the nation, and just essential things that you need that you can get. So a lot of people are worried. What is going to happen? God is telling us today, don't take thought about this type of things. Because if you continue to think in that direction, you are going to fall into depression. And you're going to begin to worry over every single thing. And instead of worry and faith don't work together. As believers, we choose to hold on to God, not our worries. Amen? Your worries will cancel your faith. So worries falls into fear. Fear and faith don't work together. You got to pick one. So pick faith today. Faith says, it is well with my soul. Can you say that where you are? It is well with my soul. It is well with my household. It is well with my finance. It is well with my health. Verse 26, behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them, and are ye not much better than they? God says you are better than the fowls of the air that God take care of. You are better than anything else out there. Verse 27, which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? You cannot change your body size except the Lord helps you. 28. And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. If you have not seen lilies, you've seen grass. Grass don't say, I'm going to grow today. You know, they work so hard. No. God causes them to grow. When there is water, there's air, and everything that they need, they just grow. 29. Matthew 6:29. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Verse 30. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much clothe you, O ye of little faith? So let us increase our faith in this season. Amen. Say, my faith shall increase. Verse 31. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? A lot of clothing. Well, I've not been to clothing stores for a long time, so I don't know whether they are open or not. But the point is, don't worry about those things. God will take care of you. Verse 32. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. Say, God will supply all my needs. Say, God will supply all my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. He's going to take care of you, your spouse, your children, your family, your parents, your grandparents, your mortgage, everything that you need, your house rent, you know, your car payment, whatever you are dealing with, the Lord is with you. They're not what you're worrying. Take no thought about that worry. Cancel those type of thoughts now in the name of Jesus. Verse 33, we have two more to read. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. 34, take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Tomorrow will take care of it. Tomorrow has its own thought. That thought for tomorrow is that it's going to be well with you. Say amen. Yeah, he said tomorrow. Did you read that? The tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. So you don't need to. God said take no thought. So a thought has been put into the tomorrow. It has been programmed into the day. That this is a day that the Lord has made for you to rejoice and be glad in it. A day of divine health, a day of prosperity, a day of goodness and mercy. That's what Psalm 118 tells you, 24 on to the end. It is the day God has made. It's a God day. So in that God day, the thought for the day, it is well with me and my household. Let us pray. When you have, take a time after the service, meditate on the scriptures. We're not teaching on it, we're just reading. So you have the word in your spirit, and let that spirit, as we pray, begin to stir you up and move you from the land of worry to the land of faith and land of believing. Father, we thank you for all your sons and your daughters. We thank you for everyone hearing the sound of my voice. Lord, touch them and their families. Touch every household, every member of Glory and Peace Church International, and all our partners, all our children, all our family, biological, spiritual partners all over the world. Touch them in the mighty name of Jesus. Those hearing the sound of my voice, touch their family now. Touch their homes. Touch their health. Touch their parents. Touch their business. Touch their job. Touch, oh God, their bodies. Those that are sick, be healed, be restored, be made whole. Father, you are the restorer of our soul. He restored my soul. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. The Lord will lead me and guide me into the place of still waters. Oh, he restoreth my soul. You are the restorer of our soul. Restore, 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 restore the souls of your children, that they will be at the place of peace, at the place of glory, at the place where they know they can feast. God, you are still the one who provides a table in the wilderness for your children to feast. Father, provide for your sons and your daughters. Those who are worried about how they are going to pay their bills, deliverance come to them now. Deliver them from that thought. Provide for them, Lord. Give them miracles. Give them a breakthrough. In the mighty name of Jesus, touch their homes. Those that, because of what is happening, they are fighting, quarreling in their homes, the strife, the spirit of strife, leave your home now. In the name of Jesus, set the captives free. Those that their mind have been captived, be free in your mind. Be free in your spirit. Be free in your soul. Be free in your body. In the name of Jesus, those that sickness have come to attack them, Father, in the name of Jesus, we send the word of the Lord, the sword of the Spirit, to cut off those sickness and those disease. Now, in the name of Jesus, be free in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for their lives. You are their strength. You are the glory and the lifter of their head. Those that are suffering from depression, rise out from that ashes now. Rise up from that place of darkness. Rise up. Let there be light. Let there be light in your mind. Let there be light in your soul. Let there be light in your heart. Let there be light in your entire system. Spirit, soul, and body align back to normal in the name of Jesus. The normal of God, which is supernatural. In the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for breakthroughs for your sons and your daughters. As we all go through this season, we all of us will come out whole. In the name of Jesus. Everyone will come out whole. We will cross over every Jordan. We enter the promise. We stay in the promised land. The promises of God's word are yes and amen. Cross over now from every issue into the word of the Lord. Cross into the promises of God. And in this place you will find peace and prosperity, saith the Lord. Father, we give you praise. Let the word of the Lord come with power, with grace, with favor, with mercy, with truth, with healing and deliverance for every one of us. We thank you for testimonies. Let's bless the carrier of the word, the giver of the word, the receiver of the word, the speaker of the word, and those of us who run and publish your word. In Jesus' mighty name, be blessed, be healed, and be highly favored. Amen. God bless you. Apostle.
Praise the Lord. Amen. God is good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's a joy to once again stand before the Lord and before his people to share the word of God, the word of faith, the word that transforms us. Early in January, the Lord gave a word. I was here early in the morning at about 7:12, 7:20, something like that. He spoke to me and said that 2021 was going to be the year of the establishment of the covenant, his covenant. It was so early in the year that I wondered why it is that God was speaking that early about the next year. Now we're in December of 2020, and I am so certain why he did. Because he knew what kind of a year 2020 was going to be for so many. that he needed to seed into us the word that will carry us into the new year, that he will establish his covenant. He also did say that 2020 was going to be the year of the manifestation of his glory, the year of separation. There were so many words that the Lord shared with us about this particular year. But it matters not what we may have heard or received from God, if the one who is saying it is not capable of backing his word. So every promise of God must be founded on the fact that God is God and not a man, and that he has the capacity, the ability, the fortitude necessary, the power to bring to pass his divine purpose. That's why today I want to begin sharing with us some thought about the God that we serve. The song that we began with today was, I want to know you. I want to see your face. I want to know you more. That's a powerful statement. But who is it that we want to know? Who is this God that we are talking about? Well, we're talking about the God who says to us that he is our righteousness, that he is the one who sanctifies us, that he is our peace, that he is the one who is present, the God that is there, the God who provides and meets all of our needs according to his riches in glory, the God who heals, delivers, and sets free. We're talking about the God who is the banner over us. We're talking about the God who manifests himself as the great I am that I am. The great I am that I am God, the great I will be. When you get there, I will be whatever it is that you need for me to be. That's the God we're talking about today. But before I get there, before I start exploring the names of God, I remember it's got to be about 25 or 26 years back, I'd done a series on the names of God. And as we explore this whole message of the covenant of God being established, we need to know who it is that's establishing this covenant, if he has the capacity to honor the covenant, and what it is that he wants to do. Let me start out by saying this. I want you to listen to this. The Lord wears me so I am empowered. Think about those words. The Lord wears me so I am empowered. This is a jacket. This jacket can't do much. If I drop it, it can't get up. It will stay exactly where it is, because it cannot help itself. It is powerless until I take it and I wear it. And when I wear this jacket, the jacket is now able to move. anywhere I move it to. These are shoes. Those shoes can't go anywhere. Shoes, move. Left foot, move. Right shoe, move. Can't do it. It's not because those shoes are disobedient. It just can't until I wear it. Now, I've worn the left foot, shoe, and now it can move. Stop. Move. To the left. To the right. It's moving. Hey, you, move to the right. Move to the left. Can't. Until I wear it. Now it can obey. Do you know that you cannot obey God without God wearing you? Over here, I had a glove. Seems to be smaller than my hand. But you see, this glove, same thing. May look like a hand, but it can't do anything until I wear it. And all of a sudden, it comes alive. He said, Pastor, what are you trying to get at? I'm saying that God needs to possess you and I. And how is he going to possess you? He says that he's going to place his name on you. He's going to place his name on me. So that the capacity of God flows now into me. That the manifestation of God is a manifestation of himself through a body that is hopeless and useless and cannot do anything. Without God, you and I can do nothing. But when God comes in and he wears us, just like I'm wearing this shoe, just like I'm wearing this suit, this inanimate, this thing that has no life of its own becomes animated. The Lord wears me so that I can be empowered. Praise the Lord. He wears me so I am empowered. I declare this day in the name of Jesus Christ that you will present yourself a living sacrifice so that God can come and possess you and I. He says, I'm at the door of your heart knocking. If you let me in, I will come in and I will sup with you. I will animate you. I will cause your life to come alive. Praise the Lord. But that's interesting because the Lord wears me so I'm empowered, then I'm exposed. How do I solve that problem? The Lord Jesus Christ says, you and I need to be in him and he in us. So just as much as I let God wear me, God wants me to wear him. Oh, glory. God wants me to wear him. And what does that do? It protects me. I am protected because I wear God. I am hidden in him. Therefore, I am protected. In Romans chapter 13, Romans 13 and verse 14, the word of God says, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put on Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh. Don't make provision for the flesh. Put on Jesus Christ and starve out the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. If you make provision for the flesh, you will fulfill its lust. You will fulfill its desires. So God says, put on the Lord Jesus. And when we put on the Lord Jesus Christ, the flesh begins to die. What flesh? The flesh that causes us to walk in sin and walk in defeat. You say, Pastor, but I thought you were talking about the names of God. Yeah, I'm coming. Because child of God, ultimately, man cannot physically see God. Who they see is you and I. When we talk about God met a need, many times God is meeting that need through people. You and I were created in His image and in His likeness. Hallelujah. And everything that is a thing has a name. Glory be to God. So, God wants His name to be placed on you. God wants His name to be placed on me. And so when we talk about the names of God today, we're going to be talking about how God is going to manifest Himself in you and through you to show forth what His name is. Glory be to God. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 24, the Word of God says, and that you put on the new man, which after God, in the likeness of God, is created in righteousness and true holiness. Oh, wow. Put on the new man. The new man, which after God, in the likeness of God, in the similitude of God, is created in righteousness and in true holiness, not false holiness, true holiness. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 10. He says, and I've put on the new man. We have put on the new man, which is renewed. It is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him. It is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him, meaning God that created him. The new man is created by God in the image of God. When I wear the Lord, I am protected. I'm protected from what? From carnal life living. Living in the flesh, for the flesh, for the purposes of the flesh. And therefore, have no capacity to resist the devil, so he flees. The first name that I'm going to look at shortly is going to be that name, Jehovah Shalom. But before I go there, the Bible says to us in Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 10, Proverbs 18, 10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. Wow. Think about that. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The word for tower is the word migdal. Now, a migdal, when you go to Israel, they will show you migdals. And a migdal is a watchtower. It is a fortress point. It's a place where you get to see whatever it is that's happening around you, a migdal. A migdal, that word migdal means an elevated stage, an exalted, elevated stage, or even an exalted or elevated pulpit. A pulpit is the place where you're speaking from. This is a pulpit. This is a stage. This stage is exalted. And God is saying that his name, the Shem of God, of the Lord, is a strong. I like that word, strong. Is the word Oz. And the word Oz, that Hebrew word Oz, has this particular meaning. It means to have, watch this now, it means to have personal, social, political strength. Wow. So God is saying to us, the name of the Lord gives me personal strength, it gives me social strength, it gives me political strength. So therefore, when we come into God, we have every realm covered. Personally, socially, politically, and that means economically. For he's a God who gives you power to get wealth. Mighty God. What are we talking about here when we're talking about the Shem of God, the name of God? We're talking about a God who says, I'm going to give you my name. And the righteous, those who are righteous, those who have put on the new man, who's created in righteousness and true holiness, those who have chosen the glory of God to come upon their lives. He says they run into the safety of the name of God, the tower of God. God has made provision for you and for me to stand in the power and the anointing of his grace. It's a strong tower. The tower, the migdal, is an elevated stage, it's an elevated pulpit, but it also can mean a raised bed. A raised bed, because the place, this is a place of resting. The name of the Lord is a place of resting, not because he hides you, but because he raises you up. I don't know if you're getting this yet. That God raises you and I up. That God gives us an elevated stage and gives us an elevated pulpit. In essence, he gives us a voice. The name of the Lord is a strong tower because God gives us a voice. God gives us a mouth that cannot be withstood, that cannot be resisted. The name of the Lord. But the righteous have to run into it and find safety. They run into it and is safe. So God, the safety of God is in this high place. Oh my. The righteous run into it and is safe. Sagab means to be too high. Our safety is because we are too high. Where does that come from? We're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Against spiritual wickedness in heavenly places or high places. But God has given to us a grace that causes us to be far above principalities and far above powers and far above the rulers of the darkness of this world. We are far above. Our safety is in the fact that we are far above. So God, we run into this safety of the Lord, so we are too high. The words of God also means not just to be too high, it means to come into a place of supernatural prosperity. We run into the Lord and we come into supernatural prosperity. You know, once upon a time, the highest building in any city or in any community was the church. That had the highest point. You could see a church from wherever it is that you were. Oh, that's a church over there. Because that is high tower. Then came the financial economic world of business and politics. And those buildings are the highest buildings in our world today. You go to any downtown and you see towering buildings. Mama and I were in the city of Dubai maybe 2 or so years ago. And that's one of the most beautiful cities you can imagine. Building after building after building, high structures. They even building structures that are going to go so high and it will be beyond the clouds. We're talking about kilometers high. Can you imagine a building about a kilometer high up there? And that's their safety. And so today, everybody runs to the financial structures of the world. That has become their migdal, their way of seeing life. But all of that crashes. All of that comes down. There's one place that you can be, and it's not built by the hands of man. It is built by the name of the Lord. There's no higher place than in the name of the Lord. I do not say this in judgment of anybody. No. I do not say it to be critical of anybody or any church or any religious group or whatever. But I really truly think that if there was a time for us to run into the tower, the strong tower of the Lord, that this is the time for the church. It is not running and stretching our hands to governments, to financial institutions, to the natural systems to get funding from this and from that and from that. Whatever funding they've got will run dry. There's a place that you and I can be that will never run dry. It is in God Himself. That's why I'm not running after, the government's giving it $100,000. I don't care whether they're giving $1 billion. I don't want any of the stuff they have to offer, because the offer that I want to be connected with is the Lord. He is the strong tower. I will run into him and I will find safety. I will find provision. I will find peace. I will find joy. I will find victory. I will find power. I will find everything I need to live life and to live it to the full. The temptation is strong to run to the towers of men, to the Migdals of men. But praise God, there is a grace that comes from God who wears you and I so that we are energized to be everything God says we can be. Somebody shout hallelujah. So shout hallelujah from your house so I can hear it right here. Amen. I hear you by faith. Praise the Lord. God takes us to a high place. Our safety is that God is setting us on high. We're not set down on low. Even when we are down, God says, I am God with you. Jesus, our Lord, went to the lowest parts of the earth, went to hell itself, and he seized the keys of death and grave. Because death and the grave want to keep you and I down. But he rose again from that place of death, and he rose up to the highest heavens. And child of God, today, he has been given a name that is above every other name. At the name of Jesus Christ, every knee must bow and every tongue must confess that Jesus Christ is Lord of the things in the heavens, the things on the earth, and the things under the earth. Even he's higher than the heavens. God wants you and I to find ourselves in safety, and our safety is in him. We need to set our face on the things which are above. Colossians tells us, set your face on those things which are above. Child of God, will you do that today? Set your eyes on that which is above. And as you set your face on those things which are above, God's grace will abound towards you, and you will not be touched by the enemy. All of your affection, all of your heart, committed to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Set your affection on that which is above and not on the things of the earth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You and I need to treasure the name of the Lord. Treasure the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness. Mama read to us from Matthew chapter 6. The word of God, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, and every other thing shall be added unto you. The things of God are received by faith. We need to connect with God. I know we see natural things, we can see them, and so we think that that's what's real. But Paul tells us that which is seen is temporal. And that which is not seen is eternal. What you don't see right now, God is constituting for a greater, greater purpose in your life. While we look not at the things which are seen, natural, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. They are there for a moment and then it's gone. But the things which are not seen, they are eternal. What would you rather have? Temporal things or that which is eternal? That which lasts forever? What would you rather have? There is a name that is consistent, that is eternal. That one is God Himself, Jehovah, the Eternal One, the self-existing one. He doesn't need me to be. He is in spite of me. And if I want to be real, and if I want to be eternal, then I have to connect with Him and allow Him to wear me. For as long as He's wearing me, I am alive. Oh, glory. It's all about Him. All about Him and His magnificent power. In the book of Judges, chapter 6, the verse that I am going to land on at the end is verse 24, but I want to pick it up so that you have a perspective of what is happening. I want to pick it up from verse 4. In Judges chapter 6 and verse 4, it's talking about the enemy, the Midianites, and the hosts of them had come, and they had surrounded Israel. They had come into the land and just wrecked havoc. He says the enemy came and they encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth. They destroyed the increase of the earth. The enemy always comes to destroy the increase that we have. So it is today that we have a virus that's come and all it's done is wreak havoc and destroy the increase in the lives of so many. It says, till thou come unto Gaza and left no sustenance. They left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep, nor ox, nor ass. I want you to notice those words. They left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep, nor ox, nor ass. Oh my God, the God of miracles. Let's go on. For they came up with their cattle. The enemy came up with their cattle and their tents. They came up with their own sustenance. They came up with their own provision. They came up with their own shelter. And that's what the world wants to offer so many today. Their own cattle, their own tents. It says, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude. I remember those words, grasshoppers. These are children of Israel trying to go into the promised land. And they saw themselves as grasshoppers. But the real grasshoppers are the enemy. You and I are greater than them. But the Bible says they came as grasshoppers for multitudes, for both they and their camels were without number. And they entered into the land with one purpose in mind, to destroy it. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites. They were impoverished because of the Midianites. The Midianites, or Ishmaelites, these guys gathered so much wealth, they even dressed their animals with precious jewelry. And we live in a world like that today, where there are people that are living their lives with so much wealth, and when they die, they give all of their millions or their billions to a dog. Like the dog is going to eat a lot of chow. That's what billions. It's the same spirit that has no care for the people, but wants to impoverish them and keep them in a state of being impoverished. It says, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. You see, if the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, they cried unto a God that had a name. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. And verse 7 says, and it came to pass when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites. And child of God, it's time for you and I to begin to cry out to God because of all that the enemy has been doing to impoverish us. You don't go to the Midianites to get sustenance. You cry out unto the Lord and say, God, intervene. God, come forth and manifest your glory in our lives. I don't go to them to get sustenance. I cry out unto the Lord. For God is the God who brings and provides sustenance. They had wiped out all the oxen, every animal that Israel had. It was all gone. And all that was left was what they had. He says, when they cried out, God sent a prophet. And I want to believe that I am the prophet that God is sending to you today. He says that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel. We said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt, and I brought you forth out of the house of bondage. And I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of all that oppressed you and drave them out from before you and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites. Who are the Amorites? The Amorites are seers. Fear not the declarations of the systems of the world that want to belittle you and make you nothing, in whose land ye dwell. But ye have not obeyed my voice, the prophet said. And what was that all about? It was first of all to bring us to a place of repentance. If my people who are called by my name, who are called by my name, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, I will hear. He says, you did not obey my voice. And verse 11 says, and there came an angel of the Lord which sat under an oak. It's a tree which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abizrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. Watch this. Gideon threshed wheat. Where did he get that from? I thought everything was destroyed. This is a supernatural provision of God. And he's stretching it at the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. Watch this. It gets better. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. He's busy hiding, shutting himself away from the Midianites. And the angel is saying, you're a mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, oh, my Lord, if the Lord be with us, if this is the year of the manifestation of your glory, if this is the time of the establishment of your covenant, if this is the year of the open door, if this is the year of the woman, if this is the year of separation, if this is the year of your outpouring, why then is this befalling us? Why are we going through all of these issues? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord had forsaken us, he said, and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might. Oh my Lord. I'm talking about how weak and how messed up we are, and you're saying, go in this thy might. This is like God shutting his ears to our complaining and saying, listen, I'm in charge here. Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites that you're hiding from. Have I not sent thee? Have I not sent thee? The disciples said, what is it that we need to do that we might work the works of God? He said, believe in the one that is sent. Who sends you? The one who has a name that's above every other name. He sends you in the authority of his name to go. And he said unto him, oh my Lord, wherewithal shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I'm the least in my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee, that's why. And thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. I'm going to reduce the Midianites to one. And you are going to smite them. And Gideon says, if I now found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. Notice this statement. Again, if now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. Show me a sign that you are talking with me. It's me you're talking to. Show me a sign. And watch the next verse. Depart not hence, don't leave. I pray thee until I come unto thee and bring forth my present. Show me a sign. It's about me. Wait here, let me go bring my present. And set it before thee, and he said, I will tarry until thou come again. Watch this now. And Gideon went in and made ready a kid. Now, what's a kid? That's a little goat. I thought all the sustenance was gone. I thought everything was gone. No. Not when you are living in the realm of the supernatural. A kid means a new birth. That while the Midianites were busy ripping off everybody, that God was still generating new things, birthing new things. Are you looking around to see the miracles of God around you? Or is all you looking around and perceiving is all the problems, then you must not be Locking your eyes on that which is above. Your affection is not on that which is above. It's still very earthy. This man went and he made ready a kid and unleavened cakes of an ephah of flour. The flesh he put in a basket and he put the broth in a pot and brought it unto him under the oak and presented it. Says, if you're the one talking to me, wait here until I bring my present. The present was an offering. And the angel of God said unto him, take the flesh and your leavened cakes and lay them upon this rock. Take that which you put in a basket and put it on the rock. And pour out the broth on that which you have put on the rock. And he did so. And watch this. And the angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the flesh and the unleavened cakes. And when he touched that which was the offering, watch this, and there rose up fire out of the rock. Did you see that? Fire came out of the rock. There was fire in the rock. There's fire in your God. He's a consuming fire. God was saying, I am here. And consume the flesh and your leavened cakes. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. When Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face. I have seen an angel of God face to face. And watch this. And the Lord said unto him, peace be unto thee. Fear not, thou shalt not die. And here we find the name. Then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom. Unto this day, it is yet in Ophir of the Abyssrites. Jehovah Shalom. What does this name mean? It means this, that he is our peace. Shalom means to be whole. Shalom means to be finished, complete. Shalom means to be fulfilled. Shalom means to be perfect. Shalom means nothing is missing and nothing is broken. Jehovah Shalom. The Midianites came and wiped out the sustenance of Israel. So they thought. They wiped out the increase of the earth. So they thought. God was Jehovah Shalom. And he was speaking what he saw in Gideon, because what he saw in Gideon was himself. Many years ago, the Lord asked me a question. And the question was simply this: what is the most violent word in the Bible? And in my cheeky way, I said, "Violence?" And he said, "No, that's not it." I said, "Lord, what is it? I know I don't know the answer. What is it?" He said, "Peace." I said, "Peace? What do you mean peace is the most violent word in the Bible? How can peace be the most violent word?" And he said to me, "My peace stands guard around your heart and your mind, stands as a garrison, and peace will fight against whatever is contrary to your well-being so you can be in a state of rest. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, an elevated bed. My peace will violently attack that which is contrary to you so that you are walking in a calm on the inside. Not because there is an absence of war, but because there's the presence of my warring power. And Jehovah Shalom was going to show himself strong. Because these Midianites were going to be wiped off. Not because of the strength of Gideon and the Israelites. But in spite of that, in fact, God reduced the numbers of the Israeli army to 300 to go fight against a people that covered the face of the earth. And guess what? Everything they brought, they had to run away from. And Israel guarded all of that. I prophesy in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that the wealth of the heathen shall be released into our hands. Did you notice that God says, "I told you not to worship the gods of the Amorites. That I was going to give you the land." But he didn't say the land which is yours. He said it was their land. It was their land, but I'm going to take that which is theirs and I'm going to give it to you. Hallelujah. That's rather interesting. But you and I are dwelling in the land that belongs to them based on what they say. How did it become theirs? It became theirs because the first Adam handed it over. The earth that belongs to the Lord our God was handed over to the man that he gave it to. The man gave it over to the devil, and all of a sudden, the devil and his cohorts began to prosper and the people of God began to wither. But God decided to do something when he established his covenant. He cut a covenant with Israel. You know, when covenants generally were cut, people have markings, invisible points on their face, on their head, on their skull, or whatever, on their hands, visible points. But when God cut the covenant with his people, it was hidden. And the only proof that man could see was that this person was walking in a blessing. He must know God. I say in the name of Jesus Christ that you and I will be known as the people of God, the carriers of the name of God, because the favor and the prosperity of God is upon our lives. We are the ones who carry the government on our shoulders. Carry the government of God, the authority, the backing power of the living God. Hallelujah. Why is this so important? The Bible tells us that we were once, at one point in our life, separated from God, but that God made peace through the sacrifice of his life, the life of his son, Jesus Christ. Did you notice that Jehovah Shalom was connected to an offering? If you and I want to know peace that passes all understanding, I want you to know that the place where the Word of God says for the first time, Jehovah, my name is Jehovah Shalom, had to do with an offering. That the place where God brought us into a relation of peace with Him, peace with God, had to do with an offering. The offering of Himself. God was showcasing and giving to us an example of how it is that we can come into this place of peace. It is through our offering. Receiving the offering of God and giving an offering to God. Like we started, I need to wear the Lord, and the Lord needs to wear me. And that's how I get empowered and protected. Please hear the word of the Lord. In the book of Ezekiel, chapter 48 and verse 35. I'll wrap here this morning. I'd like to talk to you about Jehovah Sitkinu and Jehovah Makedesh, because those two connect us to this peace. The God who sanctifies me and the God who is my righteousness. And if you missed anything I've said so far, please don't miss this fact, that God is saying that whatever He is, He is calling me to be as His representation in the earth. Ezekiel is the one who tells us about the angels. Ezekiel tells us about the valley of dry bones and the resurrection life that took place there. Ezekiel tells us about Jerusalem and all the issues that Jerusalem was facing. And though there were so many issues in the book of Ezekiel, I remember Ezekiel very well. Because when I came to the Lord and got saved, one of the key verses that God spoke to me from was in the book of Ezekiel. I was living away from home in a boarding school under no proper supervision, and I was living a wild life. One day it dawned on me that if people found out what I was doing, I might get really hurt. So I grabbed a Bible and I said, God, my father is a Christian and so am I, because I'm his child. I need you to protect me. And I will put that Bible underneath my pillow as my protection. And one day I made the mistake of opening that Bible after praying that prayer, and I opened it, and in this particular Bible there was a picture of a tree, and the bottom part of it was Ezekiel 18:4, and when I opened it, I will stick my hand down and I want to read the passage. First time I did that, it opened to Ezekiel 18:4. And it says here, it says, "Behold, all souls are mine, as the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die." That was God's way of saying, I don't have grandkids. So don't come here telling me about your father is a Christian, so you are. No, no, I deal with you as an individual. Capiche? Well, when I read that thing, I threw that Bible away. But then I still needed the protection. So I grabbed the Bible and I put it, you know, sheepishly underneath my pillow, and God is going to protect me. Next day, I did the same thing. It went to the same page. What? So I grabbed somebody else's Bible and it went on to the same page. I did this for some 20-something days, and it kept on opening to the same page, Ezekiel 18:4. Can you imagine? God, you cannot control God. God controls you. And he was on my case. It didn't matter which Bible I took. And finally, one day, it opened to another page. My hand was sticking on this page in Romans 6. And it said, "The wages of sin is death." The soul that sinned, it shall die. Oh my God. I didn't know what to do with myself that time. So I know about this book. And so did the Jews. But the passage Ezekiel ends with was this. It's talking about the New Jerusalem. It says it was round about 18,000 measures, and the name of the city from that day shall be, "The Lord is there." Jehovah Shammah. God is there. I want you to know that God wants to be there in you, there in me. His name is Jehovah Shammah. No matter what is happening in the world, it will be said of you and I, God, Emmanuel, God with them, is Jehovah Shammah, the one that is there. He is the one who builds you. He is the one who is establishing you. And he wants you to know that he's there with you, right where you are right now. You may have a cup of coffee because you are home by your side and you're sipping, or you have something that you're chewing down on while you're having church. And you won't do it while you're here, but I know you are there. You're doing whatever it is you're doing. But I'm glad that you're listening. I want you to know God is right there with you right now. Right now. Can you say it? Jehovah Shammah, the God that is there, is here with me right now. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. If I go any further, I'm going to keep you for another hour or two. So I'm going to stop here for now, and I'm going to continue sharing the word of the Lord. But this I want you to have wrapped up and settled. That God's name is your Migdal. It's your high tower. He's your elevated pulpit and elevated stage. That God is the one who elevates you and elevates me and gives you and I a voice that cannot be resisted. That God is a God who has this elevated bed that you can rest in, that there's safety in him. Hallelujah. And that his Shem, his name, that is this high tower, this strong social, personal, political, economic strength, health, strength, that He is the one who is prospering you and bringing you into this place of safety. This place of safety is a high place. It's a high place of supernatural prosperity, a place that devils cannot operate in. Far above principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world. I want you to have that settled in your spirit, that you cannot be touched. You see, the people who know their God and know His name are the ones that do exploits. You see, you can be a child of God and you will die and go to heaven, and there's nothing wrong with that, but the enemy can kill you if you don't know where you belong. Poverty can ruin your life if you do not know to whom you belong. Sickness and disease can ravage your body and destroy you if you do not know to whom you belong. You can be overwhelmed with defeat in every area of your life. But there is a place of safety where you cannot be overcome by the enemy, because you cannot be reached by the enemy. You are hidden in Christ, hidden in God, and sealed by the Holy Spirit. May God take you and I to that place. I thank God for this Migdal that God has kept everyone in this house. Not because they've not been around people that are carrying COVID, but in spite of that. Not because they're not working with people that have COVID, but in spite of that, they are protected. Not one is sick in our midst. Not one person in this house is unemployed, because God has positioned them. In fact, I am hearing testimonies from sons and daughters in this house. My company is overwhelmed with work. Other people that are doing the same kind of jobs that we do are closing down, and their workers are coming to find work at the place where I work. And I say to them, because you are there. You are the Migdal of God that is there. And because you are there, that place has to prosper. Just like Joseph caused Potiphar's house to prosper and Pharaoh to prosper, God was a God of covenant. I tell you, in the name of Jesus, have no fear. You are in a place where God has placed His name. He will keep you healthy and He will keep you whole. For these 40-something years of ministry, to boldly say, well, I think I've buried 2 church members now. All these years, 2 of your church members? Yeah. Because you're not meant to come here to come die. You're meant to come here to live. And to live a long, healthy life. Therefore, I say, by the authority of the word of God, let Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals you, release His healing anointing to flow through your body right now, from the crown of your head to the very soles of your feet. Be made every whit whole in Jesus' mighty name. Free from arthritis, free from cancers, free from diabetes, free from high blood pressure, free from skin diseases, free from any disease that affects any part of your body. Now, in Jesus' name, we decree it by sent word. Amen, and 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 amen. In Jesus' mighty name, be made every whit whole. Be blessed and be highly favored of the Lord. At this time, we're going to share in communion together. And as we share in communion, let the word of the Lord that has come to us today be fully sealed in our lives. Know that Jehovah Shammah, the God who is there with you. If he is with the city of Jerusalem, then he must be with the temple that's in that city. And you are that temple. And God is there with you. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. This is the body of the Lord, the body of his covenant. And we draw on the integrity of his word. Because while his name is amazingly great, his word says that he holds his word above all his names. Because if his word is no good, then his name is no good. And he's giving us a word. And he's giving us a promise. And he says, as we take of this body and drink of this cup, we should do it remembering him. So I say to you now, take of this body and eat. As you eat of the body, that everything God intended when he gave us his word be fulfilled in your life and in mine. Now take off this cup and drink. Life is in the blood. May God's life come inside of you and abide with you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Before we disconnect this morning, we'll be back tonight. May I encourage you now to do what every one of us need to do. Give to God. Honor God. Be the conduit through which God is going to release his peace, his shalem, his shalom, his prosperity. Let God use you now. Gideon said, wait here. If it is true that I found grace in your sight, then wait. And he went and he got a kid. He got flour, he got whatever it is that he needed to bring. And he presented it. And the angel of the Lord touched the flesh and the bread. And the Bible says, fire came out of the rock. Let the fire of God accept your sacrifice. And let God bless you in ways that you cannot imagine. God wants you blessed. He wants your needs met. He wants you to operate in the miraculous and information that you need right now to honor God with your giving and to experience the provisions of God. It's right there on the screen. donation@gloryandpeace.com. For some of you, you may not want to do it electronically like that. Just come to the church. There's a box on the south side of the building, just next to the door. There's a chute there. You can release it through that medium. You can call it in by phone if you want to do it that way. Whichever way you want to do it, there are so many avenues for you to connect with your giving at this time. And I encourage you to do so. And I expect that God will open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. I didn't say God is going to pour you out money. He's going to pour you out a blessing. And we're going to talk about that in the days to come as it relates to the covenant. But the blessing is all the creative ideas and avenues that God will reveal to you. And I pray that God will strengthen you with the boldness, the grace to take on every idea, every creative sense that He gives to you and bring about a manifestation, because He gives you power to get wealth. He gives you the forces, the army. That's the same word for the power translated there. He gives you an army, a force to get, take it. And I thank God that that grace is coming upon sons and daughters in this house and those that are partners, the grace to take what is rightfully theirs. For in the mount of the Lord, there is deliverance. Not only a deliverance because you're delivered from something, but a deliverance because something is delivered to you. Hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. I'll see you tonight for another wonderful time in the name of the Lord. Raise your hands with me and say with me, let the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the loving kindness of God, the peace of God, rest and abide upon my life, my family, my household, all that pertains to me. To the glory of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, my sovereign Lord, I declare it so done. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. God is good. See you tonight.